This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a truly joyous day that we get to participate in an event as glorious as the transfiguration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I invite you and encourage you to read through our epistle lesson, not right now, but to really allow those words to soak into your mind and your heart, and to understand that truly it is for us to participate in this event fully in Jesus' life. But our text begins after 6 days. After 6 days is a literary device that connects what's about to happen with what already had happened. And so immediately, if we understand the literary device that moves us from one event that's also connected to the event that's about to happen, we wonder, well, what happened 6 days ago? What happened 6 days ago was that Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they answered, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And then Jesus gets very intimate and he says, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter, always the bold one, speaks up and he proclaims that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus applauds him. Not literally, but he compliments him for his confession and confirms that he's right. You know, Jesus never comes out and says, "I am the Christ, the Son of God." Throughout Scripture, he doesn't do that. He reveals himself as the Son of God. And truly, by faith, we are to get it. His disciples were to get it. But they struggled. They struggled time and time and time again. And we ought not find it so strange that we do the same. We really do. We struggle in our faith. And yet, we have it. It's God's gift. Immediately after John makes that confession, Peter makes that confession, Jesus commends him and tells him that upon your confession, I will build my church. Hopefully that's nothing I did. But it might have been. I will build my church. And Peter, then Jesus turns to them and begins to teach, "I'm going to Jerusalem." Actually, we're going to Jerusalem. And there, maybe it is me. And there, I am going to be betrayed, and I'm going to die. And on the third day, I will be raised. And Peter says, takes Jesus aside and says, we don't know what Jesus or Peter really says. The text just tells us that he rebukes Jesus. What does it mean to rebuke? It means to chew him out. Undoubtedly, what Peter says is, "Lord, as long as it depends on me, it's not going to happen." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Here you have the greatest testimony that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the Son of God, the Son of the living God. And then, immediately after that, after his testimony, Peter is told to to get behind me, Satan, by Jesus. Crushing? Undoubtedly. But what's remarkable is we have the connection. 6 days later, Jesus is taking with him Peter, James, and John, and they're going up on the mountain where Jesus is transfigured before them, which means completely changed. Indeed, Jesus appears in his glory. His face shines like the sun. We have a beautiful sunny day. Go out and stare at the sun for a second, because that's about all you'll stare at it. It's too bright. You can't stare at the sun. They couldn't stare at Jesus. His face was glowing, beamingly bright. And his clothes were dazzling white, whiter than any white we've ever seen. In fact, it describes it as clear white. It's out of this world white. And standing with them, with Jesus, is Moses and Elijah. Interestingly enough, God appears to both Moses and Elijah on a mountain. Often in a mountain enveloped in a cloud. Moses is the one who brings God's law to God's people. He also sets them free from Egypt. Truly, Moses doesn't do that. God is the one who is doing that. But indeed, he is God's chosen person to deliver his people. And Elijah is the great prophet who doesn't see an earthly death, but is carried by a chariot into heaven, promised that he would be seen again, and here he is, being seen by John, Peter, and James. And we see him through the testimony of Peter. We see him through God's word. Jesus says, as they go down the mountain, don't tell anybody until the Son of Man has been risen from the dead. None of the Gospels were written. None of the books of the Bible were written until the first century, after Jesus' resurrection, after Jesus had risen. Do we have God's word? And through God's word, we witness the transfiguration of our Lord. Jesus appearing in glory with Moses, the lawgiver, and Elijah, the great prophet. Jesus comes to fulfill the law and the prophet. And he does. And from the cloud speaks this voice, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when they hear that voice, they fall on their faces. They are frightened, terrified out of their mind. They don't know what to do. Almost frozen on the ground. And Jesus comes and touches them. You've been touched today. When they were touched, all they could see was Jesus. When you were touched today, did you see Jesus? The reality is Jesus touches us every day. He places people in our lives that are blessings to us, that touch us in many and various ways. The hug of a child, kiss of a husband or a wife, of a friend, we are touched daily by God. We take it for granted, but it's true. We understand as brothers and sisters in Christ that indeed God touches us with blessing after blessing after blessing every day. One of the things that we learn a great deal about Jesus from this event is how he treats Peter. He doesn't condemn him. In fact, he invites him on the journey. He invites him to have this experience. And this experience comes at a time that is critical. He has begun to teach them that they're going to Jerusalem, where he's going to die, but on the third day be raised. And they don't understand what he's teaching. They go up on the mountain. They have this experience. It prepares them for the journey to Jerusalem. And quite frankly, that's a journey that all of us are about to take. This coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. It's the time of the year that we begin Lent. We begin our focus on what Christ has done for us. And we truly are journeying to Jerusalem with Jesus throughout Lent, understanding what our relationship is. And in fact, on Ash Wednesday, we receive often ashes to remind us of our dustiness. We came from dust, to dust we shall return. That's what we're reminded of Ash Wednesday as we begin the season of Lent, preparing our hearts and minds for what happens on Easter. We examine ourselves in relationship to God. And indeed, hopefully, we can appreciate more the fact that Jesus touches us every day. Several times every day. But as we begin our journey to Jerusalem, we thank God that indeed we get to see Him in His glory, that we may know the end of the story. Jesus has risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. That is our prayer and our praise on Easter. But we celebrate Easter every Sunday. Praise be to God that He has come. He's taken away our sin. And He forgives, and He forgives, and He forgives as He forgives Peter. He forgives us. And He gives us new life every day. He touches us. And we get to be His disciples where we are, not because of anything we've done, but because of what He's done for us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We give thanks and praise to God that indeed we are touched by God today, tomorrow, and always, forever in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.